James Golden with you here on WABC Talk Radio 77, back home. Ladies and gentlemen, it's so wonderful to be back at WABC where my career really launched into overdrive. For those of you who remember the WABC weekend lineup from years ago, James and Joel Saturday nights and James Golden on Sunday nights, but during the week I had the distinct honor of working with the man that would change not only radio, but change America. And, of course, I'm talking about the one and only Rush Limbaugh. I met Rush the very first day that he was in New York on the steps of 1330 Avenue of the Americas, where WABC was and where Rush would do his broadcast. And that broadcast changed radio. For those of you that around the country that have always heard people talk about New York and what New York is, and yeah. No, New York is that. When Rush came to New York, he was on 56 radio stations, and or 53, somewhere around there. But it was New York. It was the people of New York and the excitement that the people of New York brought when they heard Rush that elevated that show and put it into the stratosphere. That program, once Rush began on New York, captivated this city of New York. It quickly became the number one program in a market where there are over 40 radio stations competing. So imagine that. You have this man who comes from Sacramento. Nobody knows who he is. And within a year, he had already made a name for himself. Within 2 years, he was a household name, not just in New York, but around America. And that is what New York radio is about. You can go anywhere else in the world. This is not to knock any place else. But New York is my home. And New York, I grew up in this town listening to WABC. I started at WWRL. I listened to everything in New York as a kid. You give us 22 minutes, we'll give you the world. You give us everything from beautiful music that was played on WPAT over in Patterson to Light FM to, of course, when Black Radio, WBLS, when Frankie Crocker introduced the the format that would be called the Total Black Experience and Sound at WBLS, that station rocketed. KTU, when KTU started disco, it created a momentum that swept the entire country. And by the way, did a lot of damage to AM radio. AM radio was considered dead almost. And then came Rush Limbaugh. See, this all circles back. And what Rush Limbaugh did was not just revive a medium that many people said was past its prime. He changed the country because he gave conservative Americans a voice for the first time in the media lineup. And think about it. Before Rush, there was no Fox News. Before Rush, there was no conservative authors rarely found their way into print. There was National Review, but you couldn't find conservative voices in print in very many places. Today, there are a plethora. You have BizPack Review. You have National Review. You have Daily Caller. The Washington Examiner. You have, of course, Fox Digital. And let me just say a word about Fox Digital, which most people don't know. Fox Digital is not Fox News Network. I'm talking about the web, the digital form of Fox. Do you know that they serve more pages of news over at Fox Digital than the New York Times, than the Wall Street Journal, than almost any other source of news. There was none of that in the media landscape before Rush Limbaugh. None of it. Rush changed the media landscape because he was able to articulate and enunciate conservatism in a way that no one else could. He was able to make, as he said many times, complex issues understandable, whether it be baseline budgeting and how Congress was actually spending your money or spending money that they didn't have, or whether there were other issues, like what is really happening in the cities across the country. And we see that on display today. We see, and we're going to talk about all of those issues, by the way, in the 2 hours that we have here. What's going on the border, what is happening in Georgia, and this latest attempt to revive a civil rights movement that has been corrupted thoroughly. But going back to Rush, I could sit for hours and talk about his impact on society, his impact on the political scene. But what, for me, will always be most important is the kind of human being that he was. I had the honor of working with Rush for almost 30 years. There has never been a kinder, more generous, more humble soul in this business than Rush. There are stories that I could tell about his generosity that I have told in limited circles that would absolutely maybe astound some of you. Some of you know of the generosity that he had with his philanthropic giving, the Tunnels for Towers, the Leukemia Society, the Marine Law Enforcement, all of the millions of dollars that listeners like you gave to charities because Rush supported those charities. And those charities have no political affiliations. They help people from every walk of life, from every race of life. And that's what he was about, wanting to see people succeed, wanting the best for America. But he was a gentleman. This is a guy who, I was up close for many, many years. In the studio in Florida, Dawn Baczynski, Brian Johnson, and I sat across from Rush for almost 20 years. And we have our crew in New York, by the way, who also very, very close to Rush and knows Rush. And our newsletter crew spread out in part of an Apollo Beach in Florida, the other part up in Rhode Island. We had an organization that was a small organization in a way, a large organization in another way, but really in terms of the number of people, small. Because Rush was such an amazing boss, he brought in the best people and then left us alone to do our thing. But I cannot stress to you what a humble and gentle and wonderful human being this man was. He will live in my heart forever. I love him immensely. I miss him immensely every day, because he was the kind of human being that you would want to say, this is my friend, this is my boss, and this is the guy that I'd put it on the line for. When we come back, we're going to be talking with you about the headlines. You can, of course, reach us at 800-848-WABC. That's 800-848-9222. We'll be talking Georgia. We'll be talking Biden. We'll be talking whatever else is in the news with you. Give us a call. James Golden, a.k.a. Snurdly, back home, 77 WABC.
James Golden is home. A.K.A. Bo Snurdly is back on 77 WABC.
George Benson brings us back in. James Golden, WABC Talk Radio 77. I get a chance to be my DJ thing, you know. Yeah, so listen, there's so much news going on today. And you know what? I'm glad you played that. Thank you. Because I just want to say something. Before we get to the news of the day, I want to talk about what's going on in New York. A friend of mine called me before I came here. And he works for a major television network here. He's like high up in the food chain. And he was yelling at me because he was so distressed with the amount of disinformation that has spread around COVID and how seriously it still is in New York. And he took the vaccination. And I don't know why he was yelling at me about the fake news about it, because I certainly haven't spread any. But I understood when I got here. Again, now I've been in New York a few times since the pandemic began. But for those of us who grew up in New York City, who grew up in the New York metro area, when you come to New York now, you are astounded by what you see and what you don't see. There are so many businesses that are closed. You can go. I was driving up Third Avenue, and I went through one part where almost every business on, and these are major thoroughfares, were shut down. I saw ads on the sides of building for apartments. Now, if you're in New York, you don't see that. I mean, most of the time there's such a low turnover in how you would never see ads posted on the side of a building for apartments. You just don't see it. And then I went back to something that my friend was talking about. I'll leave him nameless, because he said that even in this industry with media people, the people that have actually been covering COVID, that he mentioned that they had suffered 6 fatalities in his organization. When you walk here in New York yesterday afternoon, which should have been a Friday afternoon, the sidewalk should have been packed. They weren't. There were no traffic jams until late last night that I saw. And it was stunning to see how New York City has been crippled and is still crippled a year later by this pandemic. Later on today, we're going to be talking with Janice Dean, who actually did something that took a lot of courage, which was to demand some accountability from the governor here, Andrew Cuomo. But this is a serious thing, what is still happening in New York. And I live in a free state. Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida opened the state. We are past many of the things that New York is going through right now. But I don't want to make light of what New York is going through. This is serious. I've heard a lot of people speculate that this will change everything forever. New York may not come back. I don't believe that for a second. New York will always come back. As America will always come back from where we are, because this nation is destined to be great. That is our DNA. If you want to join me, James Golden, a.k.a. Snurly, 800-848-WABC. We'll be getting to call soon. One of the things that I do want to talk about is what's going on in Georgia. If you look at The Hill, the headline says, Democrats see Georgia as opening salvo in war on voting rights. Now, let's stop for one moment and examine this headline. War on voting rights. There is no war on voting rights. People, unquestionably, in Georgia, have the right to vote. Their rights are not being threatened. If you look at every news source from the left concerning Georgia, what you see is a word that comes up over and over and over again. That word is restrictive. Republicans are trying to restrict votes. No, they are not. What happened, if you want to go to the shorthand of this, is that Democrats expanded voting privileges so that they can meet their objectives. And that's what this is about. They opened and expanded Election Day so that it becomes Election Week or Election Month. Okay, so that you can vote after Election Day in some cases. This is what these are laws that were on the book. If you look what happened in Pennsylvania, where the laws that were on the books were ignored and replaced by other laws from the judicial branch. That's not supposed to happen in our system of government. Nonetheless, there is now, I guess, a war that's going on in Georgia. And the president, Joe Biden, has weighed in on it. Soundbite number one. Let's listen to what Joe Biden, had to say at his presser, which was laughable. We'll get into that the other day. I love the New York Post, by the way. New York Post headline from the presser: stumbling Biden lies and media swoons, glazed and confused. Yeah, well, they did swoon. But let's listen to what Joe Biden had to say at his presser.
2022.
What I'm worried about is how un-American this whole initiative is. It's sick. It's sick. Deciding in some states that you cannot bring water to people standing in line waiting to vote. Deciding that you're going to end voting at 5 o'clock when working people are just getting off work. Deciding that there will be no absentee ballots under the most rigid circumstances. It's all designed, and I'm going to spend my time doing three things. One, trying to figure out how to pass the legislation passed by the House, number one. Number two, educating the American public. The Republican voters I know find this despicable.
Well, I'm a Republican voter. You don't know me. I don't find I have questions about the water. I'm going to be totally frank with you. People are online. It's hot. Okay, I have questions. Why can't you give them water? That doesn't make sense to me. However, here's what also doesn't make sense. Why are there long lines? Why is it in every single, come on, can we be real here? They're talking about black folks. They always do this, right? So Democrats in blue cities, the complaint is that black people have to stand in these long lines. Well, guess what? Republicans are not running these districts. These are Democrats who are running these districts in Georgia. These are Democrats who are making their constituents stand in long lines. How does that become a problem of Republicans? If you want to talk about people in long lines, hey, black Americans, African Americans, ask your Democrat leaders, why is it that they make you stand in long lines in your community? Stop putting this on Republicans. Bring it home to the people that run, or supposedly run, your town. Why do I have to stand on long lines so that somebody can't bring me water? None of this makes sense if you really start to examine it. And so the issue is that this war that Democrats want to wage should be waged against themselves. Republicans do not run these communities. Democrats have run these communities, have run them into the ground in many cases, and are still running them. Republicans have nothing to do with these communities. Sadly, in some cases. James Golden here with you. We're going to take your telephone calls when we come back from our next break. The number, if you want to be part of today's program, James Golden, a.k.a. Snerdly, back home on WABC Talk Radio 77, 800-848-WABC, 800-848-9222, and we'll be back.
James Golden comes home. Welcome back, Bo Snerdly, to iconic 77 WABC.
Yes. Thank you, Justin. And James is screening the calls in there. Justin's rocking the music, rocking the house here at WABC Talk Radio 77 in New York. Twitter at 77WABC. You can find us on Instagram at 77WABC Radio. Larry Kudlow, by the way, comes up at 10 o'clock after this show is over. And for those of you that will tuning in now expecting to hear Ryan Payne, what a great name. That's like an action hero name. Ryan Payne. For those of you that are expecting to hear Ryan Payne at 9 o'clock today, he'll be on at 1 o'clock. And Ryan has graciously allowed me to occupy the hour that he would normally be here. So he'll be here at 1 o'clock after Larry Kudlow, and you're going to want to be here, 77 WABC for that. Let's head to the phones. First caller, hey, this is James. Who's this?
This is Joel.
Ha!
Yeah, that's right. A different kind of pain.
Joel Santista Band. Those of you that were here, remember Saturday night's, the Saturday night special, James and Joel on WABC in New York. Joel, it sounds like you're in the car somewhere.
Yeah, I am, James. I'm on the Florida Turnpike. I'm off to the side of the road right now. I'm driving down to the Keys.
Oh, how lucky, how nice, yeah. Yeah, having some fun this afternoon. Well, guess what? New York is still beautiful where we left it. And, you know, I just wanted to ask you a question, and then we're going to start moving to some other calls. You know, you were with us all those years. For a lot of people that don't know your history, you came out of football and decided somehow or another that you'd want to get in radio. And you served, you worked at WABC for a lot of years before you and I were teamed up to do a show. And you also had a lot of interaction with Rush, and I just wanted to get one of your memories, if you don't mind, of what it was like.
James. I mean, Rush's office, if you remember, was directly across from mine. So we were together there for years. And I just want people to know that, you know, he had such a great sense of humor. And if you remember, James, he called me Aldo Scurrini on the air. Whenever I had any interaction with Rush, he had called me Aldo Scurrini. We both had little differences of opinion on the Dr. Kevorkian issue back then in those days. So I got labeled Aldo Scurrini from some listener who wrote him an email and was saying that my opinion was screwy. But what I want to tell you that is that you remember Rush had that television show for a while. And what he did was he had to shoot his pilot for his television show, and he asked me to come on the show and to do this Aldo Scurrini thing and to have a little debate with him on his pilot and on that issue. So I went, and I went on the set, and I was on the set for like 30 seconds, James. It was a little banter between he and I. He sort of poo-pooed my argument and set me off to the side. But what happened was, the following morning, he walks into my office, and he hands me a check for $1,000. And I'm like, yeah, this is the kind of this is Rush the way I say, Rush, $1,000. What's this for? He goes, well, this is what for last night, and this is what they get. This is the union rate. And I looked at him. I said, well, then I'm in the wrong business. I mean, it was 30. Yeah, and you know what I do with that $1,000, James? I was able to, you know, I had my three children. They were little toddlers back then in the 90s, and just growing up, and I parlayed that $1,000 into an above ground, a little Johnny Weissmuller, solid little pool that lasted 10 years. And my kids learned all their swimming in that pool, all thanks to that 30 seconds with Rush and his generosity of $1,000 for just sitting there and doing something like that. It was just, it's the kind of thing that that you think about. That he was always philanthropic, very generous, and then a great sense of humor. And he used to like me because at the end of his shows, he would make his walk down the ABC hallway, and as he's coming down, he never knew what he'd get out of me. I'd jump out of a cubicle, and I'd kind of tease him a little bit. I said, you know, Rush, you got a little bit of a stiff gait there. Why don't you just jump on the desk, take your clothes off, start dancing, and he'd start laughing. He would crack up. He's like, you're crazy. Or sometimes, you know, he was a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I'm a Cowboys fan, so you know, I used to get, I said, come on, Russ, get in the 3-point stance. Let me see what you can do. And he would actually do it, you know, and he was a lot of fun. I miss that, the friend, the person, the off air, you know, not the public persona. It's off the air. He was such a down to earth guy. And the most poignant thing he ever shared with me was like one time he took me in his office. He said, you know, Joel, whenever, just do this, whatever, because we were talking about charities or what have you. And he told me, he said, Joel, whenever you give something, just do it anonymously. Just give and give anonymously. You don't need to let people know. Give from your heart. You know, give to what you believe in, but give it anonymously. And just do it. And I always remember that. I always remember that. You don't need to know. You know, no. Just. And he was so good like that. And, you know, I my biggest regret, though, James, down here in Florida for 5 years, I just wasn't able to get a chance to see him after I retired. And that kind of... that kind of gets to be a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I know. But listen, Joel. You have memories that no one else has, and so do I. And so we have to deal with that. Look, Joel, I got so many people stacked up here to talk, but I just wanted to hear your voice for a minute. I love you, buddy.
Yeah,
thank you.
Beautiful.
And,
yeah,
Joel, guess what? For the moment, you and I are home again. We're home on Talk Radio 77 WABC. Joel Santista Band, the James and Joel Show. Joel, thank you so much for joining us. Let's head to the phones. James, where should we go? Tell me who. We are going to William, Westchester, New York. Hi, William. Welcome to 77 WABC Talk Radio with James Golden, a.k.a. Snerdly.
Hey, James, I hope this is not just a one-shot deal.
Well, let's just do one, and we'll see what happens.
I go back to Russia's New York broadcast that he would end, it's lunchtime.
Oh, wow.
And when I was stationed in Rhode Island, I would tweak my radio at night so I'd be able to pick up James and Joel.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
I got a couple of quick theories that I won't take all day on, but I think I know where Snerdly came from, and I know why Rush was such a great communicator.
Let's hear him.
Okay. Remember Mortimer Snerd, Candace Bergen's father, Edgar Bergen? He was the fool dummy that was with Charlie McCarthy. And
dummy.
He was active while Rush was beginning to broadcast.
Dummy.
I think that's where he picked up Snerd
dummy.
From.
Dummy. Yeah. Okay.
Did he ever explain it to you?
No, he didn't. And if he... and I like that, by the way. Okay, so why was Rush a great communicator?
Was explaining why... what makes a great courtroom lawyer able to take something very complex and explain it to a jury of 12. Rush wasn't a lawyer, didn't go to law school, but he picked it up by osmosis. He was surrounded by lawyers. What think you?
I think that's an incredible theory. You know, I've spent some time with the Limbaugh family, with David, with Stephen, with the elder Stephen, with Andy, with many of the Limbaughs. And by the way, one of them now, Kirsten, works with Sean Hannity. I mean, I remember holding her when she was a little baby and like rocking her to sleep. So it's amazing. And this is a family that if you go out to Cape Girardeau is just immersed in the law. They're bigger than life, all of them, and were before Rush. And of course, post Rush, it's just amazing. I like your theory very much. And thank you for calling. And we're going to be back. We're going to take a break now. We'll be back. We're going to take more of your calls. I do want to delve into more of the issues that are going on in Georgia. We'll hear a little bit more from Joe Biden. We will also hear from you on Georgia later on in the program. Congressman Burgess Owens joins us. He has a very interesting take. Also, Janice Dean is going to be with us. James Golden, a.k.a. Snerdly, WABC Talk Radio 77.
Nothing like coming home. James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, is back in New York City, where he belongs, on 77 WABC.
Man, Justin is just rocking the house with the music. Thank you, Justin. Who is this?
I don't know. Maybe sounds like something like Simple Plan, maybe, or I don't know.
I'm kind of loving it, though, whoever it is. We have to remember this piece. We're going to use this again.
I'm sliding it right in.
All right, and James is working it out on the phones, too. And so we're here at 77 WABC Talk Radio in New York. Let's go to Sam. Sam, welcome. Yes. James Golden with you.
Yes, James, it's an honor and a delight to speak to you. And this incident, you must tell Catherine, because she may remember it is, year is 2005, end of July. I came back from Europe touring with my family, and I was so craving to listen to Rush. I put on the radio. What do I hear? Rush has done the same tour, and he's giving a ball-by-ball description of the Colosseum in Rome.
Wow.
Just imagine. You know, it's such a coincidence. I, in fact, sent Rush an email, but I want to make sure Catherine comes to know about it, because if she checks the diary or whatever, they keep a record, she will find that they, in fact, Rush Limbaugh also toured Europe at the same time. So,
wow, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us. You know, I thought for a minute that, you know, there's a promo with a guy who has a voice just like yours. Well, similar to yours, who says that Rush is a household name all around the world. And for a minute, I thought it was you. And it's one of the things that you hear on the show often. But thank you for sharing that with us. We appreciate it. Hey, let's go to Lisa on 7. This is James Golden, WABC Talk Radio 77. Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. James Golden. I'm fabulous today because it's so great to hear your voice on WABC. We love, appreciate, and you know what? We need your voice. Many of us did the same thing. I want to just say we did the same thing in 2020 that we did in 2016. We donated, we voted, but in 2020 we were outsmarted, and we feel somewhat let down by the Republican Party and bullied by the left with their advocacy from Antifa to BLM and the media support of them and tech. So here's my question. What can we do to change hearts and minds and to win?
I love the question, what can we do? And I could probably spend a long time with it. The first thing, thank you, by the way, for your kind words, Lisa. And I recognize your voice, by the way. You've called the Rush Show before.
Yes, several times. And,
yeah.
And, thank you for always taking my calls. And
yeah.
It was fun to banter with Rush. And, you know, your voice, you are a comfort.
Thank
to America.
You. Thank you.
And we appreciate your service for the last 30 years and what you've done.
Oh, come on. Stop kissing up. It's okay.
And no,
stop.
And,
no,
and
stop.
Point.
Okay, but I want to answer your question. So, and Lisa, thank you so much for calling. I do appreciate it. What can we do? Okay, so the first thing that we can do is remain optimistic, because this is the most important thing that you can. Look, folks, America is a young country. Can we please stop for a minute and think about this? Every other major nation on the world has 1,000-year history behind it. If you look, the period of the Inquisition was an 800-year period that involved Spain and Europe, just that alone. If you go back and you look at world history, realize how young our country still is and what we've done in this amazing time. Does that mean that we should not be vigilant, that we should not realize that freedom is a fragile thing? Of course we have to realize that freedom is fragile, that our liberty is fragile, that we must protect it. But we also should keep in mind the perspective of where we are in time on Earth. America is a young nation. The best days of America are still ahead of us, but it does require us to realize how great this country is, how great its people are, and how great our potential is moving into the future. And then we have to organize. One thing that Democrats do and liberals do, they are highly organized. They have redundant organizations fighting for the same cause. It didn't take, look at what's happening in Georgia. It didn't take 24 hours before they have a full formation of groups supposedly fighting for civil rights, that they've got lawsuits getting ready to come into action, that they've engaged the president, that they've engaged their media on all fronts. This is a highly organized political machine that we are up against, and we can no longer remain unorganized without a message. So far, you have not heard a unified message at all from the Republican Party on what's happening in Georgia. Why is that? If this were Democrats running the show, that's all you would have heard. They would have been taking the offense, not waiting to be pummeled on defense. That's organization. And that has to happen if the Republican Party is going to, or conservatives are going to succeed. There also, in my view, has to be a very serious look at how the Republican Party is constructed. And by that, I mean everything from fundraising on down. Why is it that in the Republican Party, more so than the Democrat Party, you can have consultants that come out of losing races, multimillionaires? Why is it that you have candidates that are running for congressional seats that get very, very little support from the organizations inside the parties that are there to help? I'll give you an example. There's a seat in Florida that could have been won by Republicans if they had just put money into it, the Debbie Wasserman Schultz seat. There's a woman down there, Carla Spaulding, that was running. She came so close. There's another woman that was running that the GOP has determined is toxic, even though they've never really examined the full story. That's Laura Loomer, who was running and who had a good ground game. Now, Laura is toxic everywhere because she is an activist. But if you actually go behind her story and actually look at what the press has done with her, you'd see that what is presented isn't necessarily what people believe about her. And how many times have Republicans faced that? If you look at some of the other seats that could have been won, if there were money put into them, I will tell you that we could own the House right now. So there has to be a very serious analysis of what took place in the last cycle. There needs to be an analysis of how donations are spent and whose pocket the money ends up in. And that's all I'll say about that. The Democrats outspent us. How is it that in the last weeks of the campaign, the Biden camp ran spots unanswered in so many areas? There needs to be a deep dive. But more importantly, we have to remember that we are Americans, that this country is worth every ounce of energy that we put into it to defend our freedom, to defend our liberty, and to pass that freedom and liberty on to our next generations. And it is incumbent upon us not to lose our optimism that this is a nation worth saving and to put our energy into saving it. That is the beginning of what we can do. James Golden, WABC. We are going to take some other calls as we go along. I do want to mention, too, that we're going to talk about the COVID with Janice Dean and what happened in New York. Do we have time, guys, to play the second Joe Biden soundbite? Because Georgia, we have to talk about Georgia. And so let's hear what else Joe Biden had to say about what's happening in Georgia.
It is the most pernicious thing. This makes Jim Crow look like Jim Eagle. I mean, this is gigantic what they're trying to do. And it cannot be sustained. And do everything in my power, along with my friends in the House and the Senate, to keep that from becoming the law.
Well, first of all, Joe Biden, you have nothing to do with the law in Georgia. Absolutely zero, nothing. If you look at the Constitution of the United States, which still does mean something in some circles, state elections are decided by state officials, not by the president, not by the current administration. This is a state matter. It is not your business, number one. Constitutionally, not your business. But I don't even know who Jim Eagle is. I don't know what he's talking about. And as for Jim Crow, The party of Jim Crow are Democrats. The party of Jim Crow are progressives. And maybe we need a reminder in history. In the 1920s, when black Americans were getting jobs in government, when black Americans were overcoming the years of slavery and were assimilating into the economic mainstream of American life, it was the Democrat Party, Woodrow Wilson, and the Democrat Party who ushered in federally sponsored Jim Crow. It was liberal Democrats who called themselves progressives who said, no, we don't want you brown and black people working in the government. No, you will not have civil service jobs. No, you will not be able to feed your families working for government. You are outcasts. It was progressives who segregated the military. It was progressives and Democrats who ushered in Jim Crow in the South. So when Democrats bring up Jim Crow, as Joe Biden has the nerve to do, let's remember to pin Jim Crow on the party that started and promulgated Jim Crow. That would be the Democrat Party, not Republicans. James Golden here with you, 77 WABC Talk Radio, New York. I am home. Thank you. And it feels so wonderful. So, in the next hour, stay with us. You can call us. 800-848-WABC, 800-848-9222. At Twitter, you can reach us at 77WABC. Instagram, at 77WABC Radio. James Golden, Bo Snerdly here with you. And I'll be with you for another hour after today's program with James, a.k.a. Snerdly, is over. Stay tuned because we have Larry Kudlow. Following Larry Kudlow, those of you who are looking for action hero, Ryan Payne, he'll be on at 1 o'clock this afternoon. WABC Talk Radio 77. We have a full hour to go, and you don't want to miss a single second of it.